Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, October 20th. Coming up on today's show, we've got a conversation with Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud, touching on the town budget, which is up for consideration in the coming weeks, and recent meetings the mayor's had with provincial ministers and the heads of Brunswick News, Jamie Irving and Mike Power. Plus, we ask for the mayor's thoughts on the call for an investigation into the province's role in the outbreak at the Drew. We also talk with Darcy Kingswell, the coordinator of Wool to Wishes. The Port Elgin social enterprise is making a foray into online sales, and she'll tell us about that. But first, some other news and information. Another three people have passed away from COVID-19 in the province. A person in their 80s in the Campbellton region, a person in their 90s in the Edmundston region, and another person in their 90s in Zone 1 have all died from the disease. The active case count in the province continues to drop as recoveries outpace new cases. As of Tuesday, there are 774 active cases in the province, but numbers of people in hospital and ICU remain high. 57 people are in hospital, with 18 of those in an ICU. Zone 1 remains the most active zone in the province, with 22 new cases reported yesterday, all of which are under investigation by public health. There are 290 active cases of COVID-19 in Zone 1. Provincial Public Health has announced that booster shots will be available to healthcare workers and residents of First Nations communities as of Monday. Those who have been fully vaccinated for at least 6 months will qualify for a shot of an mRNA vaccine such as Moderna or Pfizer. The province previously announced that residents of long-term care homes would be eligible for third-dose booster shots, but residents of the Drew Nursing Home in Sackville are still waiting scheduling of their combined flu and COVID-19 boosters as of Monday. The province says it will release details on booster doses for other groups in the coming weeks. The town of Sackville has published information and application forms for a new youth sports subsidy program to help cover up to 50% of the cost of registration with Sackville Minor Hockey, Tantramar Lacrosse, the Sackville Skating Club, and the Sackville Swim Club. Families can be reimbursed up to $300 per child for program fees starting on July 1st this year. Check sackville.com for more information. Wool to Wishes, the Port Elgin social enterprise that produces wool and fleece mittens using repurposed woolens, is taking their unique mitten design online. The operation has started selling mittens at wooltowishes.com to expand their reach. In addition to providing flexible local work, Wool to Wishes helps fund some of the programming at PEDVAC, the Port Elgin Voluntary Action Committee. PEDVAC operates a community food bank, hot lunches for students, an annual Christmas box campaign, and literacy programs. I called up program coordinator Darcy Kingswell to find out more about Wool to Wishes and their online aspirations.
We are a social enterprise, so we do have anyone that's able to sew or wants to cut our mitten parts. We give them the opportunity to work and make a little bit of cash, and we put together the mittens and we sell them.
So it's, valuable in two ways: as a fundraiser when you're selling the mittens, and also it provides employment for local people.
Yes, it does.
About how many people are working in the Wool to Wishes program?
Right now we have two cutters. One cuts the wool and the other one cuts the fleece. And we have a couple of sewers that put together the mittens, and myself.
Okay.
I'm now, the coordinator.
I have seen the mittens at the craft gallery here in Sackville, and they're quite a unique design. They're pretty neat looking. Where did that design come from? Who came up with that design?
We've been around for several years, and I don't really know because I've only been doing it for a couple of years.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure who came up with the design.
Okay. So someone way back came up with this sort of patented Wool to Wishes design that has endured to this day.
Yes.
Now, you recently are making a big change. You're moving to an online store. Not moving to an online store, you're adding an online store.
Yes,
tell
we
us
are.
A bit about that.
We've been wanting to do it for a few years, and we now just decided to bite the bullet and try it. And we want to open up our mittens sales to more Canadians, not just having the local. And because we love our mittens and we just think they're the best thing. So we've always wanted to try the online to see how it would go. And we're excited about that.
And now the mittens make use of, make use of pre-used material, right? So this is older sweaters and fleece.
Yeah.
Where do you get most of that material from?
We get the material for the most part, we get it through our donations. So we have people come in to donate that are their clothes and anything that they don't need anymore. And we have volunteers who go through all the donations and anything that they find that's a wool product, they give it to me to look over to see if it's worthy, and anything that's not, they either put up in our boutique or we give it away to other used clothing places.
Okay.
If we can't use it, it just depends. Usually we get good quality, so it's a lot of times it has to be 50% and up of wool. It can't be under that because then we can't use it. So that's what I mean by if we can't use it, it goes to the boutique. So anything that's 50 to 100% wool, we can use.
Okay. And people might not realize that the PEDVAC Foundation in Port Elgin, you do have a boutique there featuring secondhand goods.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's another fundraiser for the whole, all the operations there?
Yes, it is.
So if people have woolens that they're thinking of retiring, they can drop them off to PEDVAC?
Yes, they can. And we're located 12 Church Street, Port Elgin, New Brunswick.
All right. Thanks very much, Darcy.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That was Darcy Kingswell of Wool to Wishes. The new online store is at wooltowishes.com. That's the word wool, followed by the number 2, and the word wishes.com. Last up on today's Tantrum Hour Report, we bring you a conversation with Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud, checking in to get his thoughts on tax rates and the budget, the Drew Nursing Home, local governance reform, and local news. Mayor Sean Michaud, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Erica.
So based on Monday's presentation by staff to council, it sounds like staff is recommending in favor of keeping our tax rate flat this year in Sackville and not reducing it to adjust for the higher than usual rise in property assessments. Council has yet to discuss this, of course. We're just at the beginning of getting into it around the council table. But, you know, which way are you leaning on this issue? What are your thoughts around tax rates and property assessments?
Well, when it comes to, as I had indicated before, I think there's some sticker shock happening out there. I don't foresee in talking with folks within real estate and that business a change in regards to the value of the sale, you know, what the sales are happening in the next couple of years. So we also are in a situation where the province is playing catch up regards to assessments. So you're seeing a large increase. Will it stay that way long term? As indicated by the treasurer last night, it might. We might see it kind of decline back after a couple of years. I think it's ensuring that we're delivering the best quality of services we can within the funds that we have available, and to ensure that council is looking at everything kind of front to back in regards to how these services are affecting our community. Are they, 100%? Are there tweaks that we can be made? There was things within the presentation last night that you know, is there some movement there? On certain things, there's not movement. Insurance, there's not movement. You know, power, there's not movement. But in some areas where there's some dollars amount associated, such as initiatives by council, I believe that the line item is $50,000. So is that something that is needed? Is that something we can put into some area? So that's my thoughts. I think if we're going to go the route of keeping the tax rate where it is, and we do see some benefit from that in regards to revenue, where do we put that revenue in ensuring that it's going to help the community further?
All right. So it sounds like you're in favor of maybe taking a closer look at some of the proposed items to see if you can cut back a bit, but you're also thinking that you don't want to mess with the tax rate. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, it's council's decision how they want to see this roll out. You know, my advice on this is, you know, there's some things that we need to tackle, I think, as a municipality, that if we are going to keep the tax rate as is, that maybe we should be considering looking into. One of the things, and I've shared this with council, one of the things is the fact of housing. Housing is a struggle in our community right now. Between rentals, you know, there's a shortage on rental units. You know, I have coworkers that have seen their rental home get sold, and now they've kind of been looking for something else. So do we need to maybe take some of the funding that the additional revenue that we're generating this year or that's being generated towards a housing study? Is that an option? You know, what are the challenges to keep us competitive within our region? Moncton's looking at a possible tax reduction to their residents. So how is that potentially, how can that affect us here? Does it make Sackville less attractive in regards to purchasing a home? What's our inventory like? If you look at the information the province provided, we only had, I think it showed over from 2020 to 2021, we had 10 additional homes. But we are seeing a lot of homes being sold here. So where are those people going? Are they going into different types of accommodations and rentals, or are they moving out of town? So I think those are all important things that we need to understand as we look at 2022. Mm-hmm. The other thing is our strategic plan. You know, we're at the tail end of it, but we're also in a pandemic. You know, maybe that's something we should be considering looking at in regards to opening up that strategic plan again and finding a consultant that would sit down with council and work through coming up with a plan for the next 3 to 4 years.
So a couple different planning things you'd like to see happening. I haven't heard the idea of a housing study mentioned yet around the council table. That's an interesting one. And now, is that something you think might fit under council initiatives? Would you be able to, as mayor, bring that to the table for consideration?
Yeah, well, you know, I've provided some guidance to council. You know, I've indicated some of the areas that I feel that we should you know, maybe look at as a council. So, you know, that wasn't up for discussion last evening, but doesn't mean it won't be up for discussion next week when we sit down to go through what comes forward. You know, I'll be interested to see what other councillors bring to the table. Any of the further questions in regards to the budget that was presented, and see where we go from there.
All right. And as you mentioned, there will be another meeting next Monday
that's correct.
Designed for, I mean, this past Monday was Treasurer Michael Beal presenting the budget, outlining everything that's in the proposed budget, and then there'll be questions to be answered. Mm-hmm. And so he'll sort of have a long list of questions from councillors that he'll go through on this coming Monday. And
right.
Then there'll be another week, and I mean, there could also be another meeting, but within another week, you should be looking at council considering the approval of a draft. Is that right? Or is there one more meeting in there, I think, actually?
So after that, the Tuesday after our special council meeting, it's scheduled to discuss the capital budget if required. We might be able to get through that next week as well. And then if need be, we can always schedule another meeting if council feels it needs more time to discuss the budget further. For the most part, the budget is those kind of core items that we have every year that we need to pay, the bills we need to pay. And then what additional operational things can we tackle with the revenue that's coming in? And staff have provided some interesting thoughts around where their thoughts are on some areas that we could need some additional revenue in. But that doesn't mean that we don't have some flexibility within certain line items other than, like I said, paying the power bill or whatever it might be, to kind of see where that money gets spent. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's decided right now. So under council initiatives, it might be, it's being suggested there'd be $50,000 there. So as the year progresses and we talk further as a council, then maybe things will come up that we say, okay, well, yeah, let's advance that now. Or, where are we on the strategic plan? Do we really need to open that up and move forward on a pivot? In my mind, I think where we are in a pandemic and we've seen different things happen, I think we're there. However, that's something that council will have to decide with the input from staff.
So in your report to council last week, you mentioned, and this is the regular council meeting last week, you mentioned some meetings you had recently in your role as mayor that I wanted to ask you about. First of all, Danielle Alain, your meeting, and you mentioned your meeting with Minister Alain again this month. He's working on the province's pitch for local governance reform. What are you hearing in meeting with him? Do you have specific expectations for local governance reform, what we might see coming out of the province?
Well, right now it's about collaboration. The message is we need to be working with our neighbors. We need to be working with the LSCs. We need to be working with other villages, etc., in order to see if there's means that we can come together on things that we tackle on a day-to-day basis, on a long-term basis, sharing the opportunity maybe on tourism, sharing the opportunity on economic development. The regional mayors, we've already met and talked a little, mostly about the hospital, but at the same end, tourism has come up, economic development's come up. But then there's those small items as well. It could be anything from the fact of somebody that's qualified for as a water technician or animal control, those type of things. Are there opportunities for us to share and work together on those type of things? So I think that the message I'm hearing from the minister is that we need to work towards some common areas that we can maybe share some resources on.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's an interesting conundrum for Sackville, especially to talk about collaboration with the local service districts, because of course they don't have, the ones around us don't have like representation, or they used to, but the advisory committee that was elected had resigned. So is this like something you're talking to Minister Alain about, what the sort of interests of the local service districts would be relative to the town of Sackville, or are you bringing in people, maybe even former representatives from the local service districts to that conversation?
Yeah, that's a possibility. That's come up in our, with not just this area, but as we've gone through the sessions on municipal reform, other areas are saying the same thing. There's no representation within this LSD, so how do we connect? And the province has the ability to help us connect. Also, it seems pretty relevant that you know, if you have an LSD that's right next door and you have people within that LSD that are very community-minded people that are involved with their area, you know, those are the people we need to talk to. They're the eyes and ears of the area that they live in. And so, you know, those are options as well. That's something that, you know, we hope to be able to bring the regional mayors together here within, you know, within the next month or so, and talk more about this and talk more about the areas that surround our villages and our municipality, and see what we can do to work together.
Now, the provincial, another minister, you met with another minister, actually, the provincial minister of tourism came to Sackville for a bit of a tour. Mm-hmm. Was there a specific purpose for that visit? What was going on there and what ended up happening?
Well, it's just, you know, I think it's important that our community stay connected to the province and stay connected to Fredericton and the different departments there. You know, Sackville has been very well known for where it is. You know, we're kind of an entrance into the province. We're on the Fundy Coastal Drive, and either the beginning or the end. And the province is focusing a lot on the Fundy Trail right now. So, you know, we wanted to speak with the minister and the minister's staff and have the opportunity to talk about what options might exist here in Sackville as making it an actual tourist destination. You know, we hope to follow through on that coming up, and hopefully we'll see some activity happening here that will keep us, or make us and get us to that point of being a tourist destination.
Are trails going to figure into that?
Well, that's a good possibility. I've had somebody raise with me the fact that, you know, we talk about the highest tides being in the Bay of Fundy, and we have that happening right here in our back door. So is there an opportunity there to tap into that? And in fact, of, you know, you don't necessarily just have to go to the rocks to see the highest tides, right? I think there's opportunity here. So how do we work with the province in ensuring that Sackville's on the map when it comes to tourism?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you also met with some of the leadership at Brunswick News. Yeah, you mentioned you had a Zoom call with Jamie Irving and Mike Power, two of the sort of higher-ups there. Can you tell us about that meeting? Is that something initiated by you or by Irving and Power?
Well, it was... The way I look at it, it was initiated by citizens, and the fact that we no longer have a newspaper here, a print paper here, and people have been talking about that. I hear it probably on a weekly basis. I hear it from other people, and so the former mayor had reached out to Salt Wire and tried to see what options might exist there. So I'm following through in the fact of I've also got a call into Saltwire to see what might be options here that we not necessarily create another paper, but at the same end, how do we become more of a part of the existing publications that are happening in northern Nova Scotia and southeast New Brunswick.
What kind of a role do you think the town will play in the future of that local journalism? And I guess in terms of, local reporting here.
Well, I don't necessarily think the municipality plays a role in that. I think the municipality needs to be encouraging, the coverage that reaches, different platforms and to kind of keep that at the forefront with these companies saying that, Sackville is a place that's happening. There's lots going on here. And I think it's, and we think it's important that that there's coverage within in those news publications.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We recently interviewed Tori Weldon, who obviously is a CBC reporter who, because she lived in Sackville, I think ended up reporting on a fair number of Sackville stories. But she's recently left CBC, so we're even missing one more sort of ringer in the CBC newsroom in Moncton. So, yeah.
Well, and you know, that's so important that we have these connections, right? And it doesn't always have to be investigative reporting. It was always nice to open up the Tribune, and we had years ago had somebody from Cape Tormentine and Port Elgin and Beyvert, and just a little blurb about what's happening in their own little areas, and that's what keeps us connected as people, right? And I mean, just knowing how people are getting along, and we talk about the Tribune Post and even the sports write-ups. I mean, what Wally Sears was doing there in the Tribune and those sports writings, it connected us as a community, and I think that is so important. I think we have other mediums, but I think print isn't quite dead, right? I think people like to still be able to pick up the newspaper and leaf through it and see what's going on.
Now, I wanted to ask you about one more thing, very important topic. The Drew Nursing Home has been on everyone's radar for obvious reasons.
Yes.
Can you share your thoughts on what's happened at the home? And specifically, I'm curious, do you support Megan Mitten's call for an investigation into how the province handled that outbreak?
Well, I think right now as a community, what we need to be doing is continuing to support wherever we can what's happening at the Drew Nursing Home. And I think as we've gone through this pandemic, we've learned as we've gone. So could there be learnings from it? I'm not saying there couldn't be. I think that's something that, maybe we down the road have a look at that. Right now it's about the people who are in the home, the residents, their families, the staff, the additional staff who have come here to support them and to ensure we get through that. So, and I think that's what's we need to keep on our minds right now. And this pandemic it's not black and white. We learn from it every day. So if there's learnings and takeaways, I'm sure those will come about from the people who have been there firsthand, who have experienced it, and hopefully help us mitigate anything else that might come up as we continue to go through this pandemic.
All right, Mayor Michaud, is there anything else you wanted to share with CHMA listeners today?
No, nothing at this point in time. I just want to say thank you for your time, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
That was Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour Report for this Wednesday, October 20th. Tune in again Friday for more local voices and stories. As always, we hope that you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.